Who are you and why are you here?
I'm Brent Curry with BikeCAD. I'm here to promote BikeCAD as a bicycle design and fitting tool.
It's an excellent tool. I use it all the time.
Oh, thank you.
You've been around for a pretty long time doing this. What were you doing prior to starting this project and kind of what led into it?
I was studying mechanical engineering at the University of Waterloo. I did all my co-op terms through that degree for bicycle companies. So I was working for Vitus in France, first of all, and from there I went over to Synchros in Vancouver, BC, makers of seat posts and stems and so on. Then I went to Southcott Proprietary in Australia, where they imported GT bikes and they made their own line of mail delivery bikes. And then finally I spent two work terms working with Krista Kerf in Vancouver, learning a lot from him as well. So when I graduated, I wanted to build bikes for myself, and at the same time I thought it would be fun to make myself a little program to work out some of the geometry. So I developed BikeCAD for that purpose, just as kind of a hobby, and proceeded to build bikes using the software and made the program available on a website that I'd started to promote another business, which was a bicycle rental business, which I was running for a number of years, mostly for kicks and giggles, just to justify my interest in building wacky bikes, building things like my couch bike that I built around my living room couch and rode across the Maritime provinces. Anyway, getting off track a little bit, I think you're asking what I was doing before developing BikeCAD. Well, that's what I was doing before. And after I'd developed the initial version, used it to design my own bikes, I didn't really do a whole lot more on it until Cirata contacted me about customizing the program a little bit more to their needs. So I developed a relationship with Cirata, enhancing this early version of BikeCAD to serve some of their specific needs. And in working with them, I guess I realized that there was a greater potential for BikeCAD to be used by all custom frame builders. And so I started developing it more, and I started selling BikeCAD Pro in about 2004. And along the way, I was actually employed as a mechanical engineer doing, I did a lot of contract design work using Pro Engineer, which is a 3D solid modeling package. And eventually I wound up teaching courses in Pro Engineer as well. But alongside, I was constantly developing BikeCAD and kind of lost track of time. But I'd say about, it might be almost 10 years ago now, that I fully transitioned away from my work with Pro Engineer and focused entirely on BikeCAD. So that's what I'm doing to this day.
Yeah. Excellent. And your product continues to grow. You continue to listen to the needs of what's going on in the market, which is really cool. Now, to add functionality and different purposes, and we've discussed it via email before, other uses and stuff, you know, I'm not too clear of what's happening on the backside of your developing of BikeCAD. Like, what kind? Like, I'm not a software guy. I use CAD, but I don't know how CAD's working in the background or anything like that. You know, I appreciate that you've got a parametric type platform, but like, what's going on back there, and how are you making these numbers appear, and how are you getting the geometry to happen? You know, I sit down and solve things with trigonometry and things sometimes, and sometimes there's, you know, your what's it called when you've got self-referential equations, so to speak, where you're kind of running in circles and things are, you know, summations almost more than anything else. Like, what's going on back there that you could maybe rephrase so that we can understand?
Well, so BikeCAD is coded in the Java programming language. It unlike what some people might assume, it's not based upon anything. I just started it from scratch, which is a decision that I may not have made years ago, but I'm happy I made it. I'm happy I made it. But the only reason I say that is I maybe didn't, I guess I may not have known back then how much work I would have to go through to get to where I am today. But no, like I say, I'm happy with the approach I've taken and comfortable with the way I've developed it in Java, which allows me to easily distribute versions that run on Macs, PCs, and Linux machines. It also allowed for the ability to post a free version of the program that runs as a Java applet inside a person's web browser. And I think in the early days, that was really great because to run a Java applet was trivial. Anyone could do it. They would always just run automatically within a web browser. But over the years, web browsers have had to impose more and more restrictions on how, on what liberties plugins are able to take and so on. And some browsers, such as the Chrome browser, doesn't even allow the use of the Java plugin anymore. So it's now to the point where running the free version as a Java applet inside your web browser is still possible, but it's not as convenient as it once was. And I guess I'm finding more and more that people are struggling to get it to run. So I'm currently porting my code to another language so that I can allow people to use the free version of Bycad right in their web browser without any sort of setup or downloading or installing anything. That's my current focus right now, and I'm looking forward to the day when that's done and people will be able to try Bycad really easily on their phones or tablets or whatever device they're using.
That's really cool. I mean, it's interesting to think about the whole porting because, I mean, as someone who's generated, and just from a solid modeling point of view, a thing, and then trying to reconvert it and rewrite it again, it's interesting, but it also gives you the opportunity to fix fundamental flaws. Right. And what sorts of fundamental flaws are you fixing besides simply the ability to run the free version? Maybe not flaws, but architectural refinements that allow you to do a better job or build bigger.
Well, for now, my focus is really just to get something running. And so that's really my focus. I'm not sure if I have a better answer for that particular question. I am always adding new functionality to Bycad. An example would be recently I added a library of dropout drawings from various manufacturers such as Paragon and Loco Machine. And I will continue to add that type of enhancement to future versions. And I guess I don't consider it necessarily an architectural challenge. It's more just a little more grunt work.
So for me as a layman, you know, looking at it, the magic of the numbers appearing. What kind of math are you doing in the background, or how does that work that you end up with these numbers that come up? That boy, there's got to be some odd building that happens back there. How does that happen?
Well, it all, like, just as you referenced making some trigonometric calculations yourself with some of your projects, there's a whole lot of trigonometry in the back end of Bycad. And one of the neat things about Bycad, I think, is that you can control the bike in so many different ways. If you want to drive the front end geometry by, say, front center and head tube length, you can do it that way, or you can switch over and control it by effective top tube length and top tube angle, or handlebar position. You can control it in so many different ways. Stack and reach is another one.
But that's got to creep into the math.
What that has entailed is going through a whole bunch of trigonometric calculations to work it out one way, and then sort of going through similar trigonometric calculations to work it out a whole other way. And
so you are, for each, say, dimension radio box I'm filling in, you're doing the math for each one of those that gets added
in. Yeah, that's, there's...
And it just runs through it depending on which driving situation you're in.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
That's pretty. You must have a very good grasp on trigonometry.
Yeah, I guess I've abstracted some of my methods over time so that I call my own methods that reference other trigonometric methods and so on. But it makes it a little bit more easy for me and makes the whole process a little quicker.
So you find you stack up a lot.
Yes.
Because when I'm doing like an equations-based model in SolidWorks, my preference is to not stack at all. I try to do that, but that's not anywhere near what you're trying to do. I mean, you could lose your mind trying to just separate everything out so that you're dealing with fundamental numbers rather than, you know, something you've already solved for and using that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What challenges, like the custom bike world has seen a huge influx of inexperienced users, people that don't necessarily know the language that we're talking. I mean, a lot of what you do is, you know, what's interesting about using your program and why I steer novice people to it is you get to learn the language, and there's several types of languages in there, depending on like how you like to do your front ends and how you dimension the bike, and then learning how we term those dimensions so that we're all speaking the same language. Right. Now, you're probably dealing with a lot of people that call you or deal with you that they're coming out of nowhere and trying to jump into the deep end, and you're probably hearing a lot of that. What's your impression of what people are trying to do with your program that, I don't know, what could help them a lot?
Well, I try to help them as much as I can by developing video tutorials describing the functionality of BikeCat, and I think that's been a big success. A lot of people who have watched my videos have told me that they find them useful. I'm always available to answer questions by email, or I respond to questions posted on the BikeCat forum, which is on my website. I forget your question. You're asking me what the challenges were dealing with my users, the users of the program. I feel like I have a pretty good rapport with the users, and I don't have too much difficulty explaining things. Maybe I'm in a good frame of mind right now. Maybe I'm forgetting some of the hassles and frustrations I've had trying to see eye to eye with some people. But
sure.
No.
I'm looking at this tandem print that's behind you. I think did you just add tandem functionality
recently? I forget what version of BikeCat it was. It might have been version 12. I'm sort of exhibiting version 13 right now. So. You've been able to model tandems for a couple years now, but I'm excited about that functionality, and what came along at around that same time is the option to add additional extra tubes to the front triangle, so you can model more unconventional bikes.
Okay. Say you're going to add a new dimension or a new feature, what are the more challenging dimensions or features for you to add, and what are the easier ones?
Well, if somebody has a dimension that they would like to see added to BikeCat, that's very easy for me to do, and I always appreciate requests along those lines, because basically all the code is there for me to add dimensions, and it's just a matter of me adding one more line, detailing which two points I'm dimensioning, or in the case of angles, sometimes it takes 3 points. But yeah, so I'm always happy to add things like that. I've spoken before about the addition of dropouts. Just getting that whole system set up took a little bit of work, but now that is done, I find it's pretty quick and easy for me to add a new dropout to BikeCat. If somebody has a design that they'd like to see added, I can do that very easily. People have spoken with interest of having similar functionality for forks, or maybe they can plug in existing drawings of somebody else's fork to plug into their design. And so I'm anxious to do that at some point in the near future too. But so there'll be a little bit of upfront work to do to set things up in a similar way that I did with the dropouts. And once that work is done, well, then I'll be similarly receptive to adding people's new forks and so on. Until I've done that upfront work, I guess I'm not soliciting for people's fork designs to be added to BikeCat just yet. But.
Sure. One of the things that you provide in the program is components that have been predefined. Similar, you have proprietary dropout, not proprietary, but brand name dropouts in your program now. Now, let's say like with Rock, we have RockShox, we've got Truvative stems and things like that that have various fussy dimensions that are hard to get otherwise. What efforts have you done to like solicit, say some dimensions from manufacturers so that they can go into BikeCat, so we didn't have to rely on getting the part first before using it, and all that. You know me, I fuss over stuff, and it's amazing what kind of deviation there is within the stem world,
right?
Type of thing.
Yeah, well, I guess you actually were kind enough to send me a PDF with all the specs for the RockShox Reverb dropper post. So I actually was able to use what you sent me to add all those dropper post specs into BikeCat version 13.
And that's invaluable, by the way. Like once I started using it, because I already was gearing for that. But once I started using it, it was like, oh, that's great. I don't have to, like, double, triple check my clearances down at the bottom end of the tube as well.
Right.
Stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I guess I've managed to find various things on manufacturers' websites. Like, I feel like with a lot of stems, I feel like stem length and so on is fairly readily available. Although, having said that, I don't... By default, there is the option to have a standard library of stems, and I currently don't really have an extensive library of stems available when you download BikeCat Pro. It for now, it is sort of up to you to develop your own library of stems. But yeah, for the most part, I spend a lot of time scouring websites getting specs. And my efforts to get additional specs from people at companies usually hasn't been successful.
Right. They're very reticent to give anything up.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
What would you like, if you could, to communicate to users or features that you wish people would use more or would find handy that maybe they don't right now, if they were listening right now?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of functionality within BikeCat that people probably just simply don't know about, the first thing that comes to mind is just there is an option to set up a dimension template or a paint template or a bike template, and what I mean by that is these templates allow you. So a dimension template, for example, allows you to to go through the dimension dialog box, just set up an arrangement of dimensions that you think is useful to your processes. And then save that arrangement of dimensions as a dimension template so that that same arrangement of dimensions can be applied to other designs that you come up with.
I actually use that a lot. I have one for my fit dimensioning and one for my production dimensioning.
Right, yeah. So that's exactly the kind of idea I had behind this.
It is good.
Yeah. So yeah, and there's a video tutorial describing using templates in BikeCAD Pro. So that's one bit of functionality that I would like to make people aware of. The option to export a multi-model PDF is maybe kind of a neat thing that maybe not everyone's aware of, but you can compare maybe a few different frames, have them all overlaid on top of one another in a PDF. That's something else that comes to mind. I think there is more, but I won't say anything more specific. Just encourage people to have a look at my video tutorials. Many of them have been organized into a user guide on the bikecad.ca website, available in the FAQ. And leave it at that for now.
Excellent. Thank you very much for spending time with me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting, Peter.